Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sherry Andrea Psychic Empath Show with your host, Sherry Andrea. Sherry Andrea brings her listeners interesting discussions and topics related to empathy, psychic and spiritual development, as well as energy work. She is herself a psychic empath, healer, coach, author, and founder of SherryAndrea.com. Welcome, and here is your host, Sherry Andrea.
And welcome. Thank you for joining me. This is Sherry Andrea, and I am glad to be here with you tonight. And my co-host Stella is on the line. Say hello, Stella.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Thank you for listening.
And we are glad that you are here because we have a wonderful guest tonight. Satya Kalra is founder of Path to Anada. Anadam. Okay, I got that totally wrong. She's going to, when she, I tried and I had it. I swear I had it. And as soon as I went to try to say it again, I had it at one time, I swear. But she's going to, we talked before the show, and I told her to feel free to correct me as I mispronounce things, which I know I'm going to, because the minute I go on the air, it's like a switch is flipped and I go all nervous. And I all of a sudden can't speak. So I told her to feel free to correct me when I mispronounce everything. So I'm really excited to have her on our show today because as those of you who are regular listeners or even semi-regular listeners or have even caught one or two shows here and there know, one of my favorite topics to speak of are topics that are empowering, topics that people can learn from to live a happier life, to resolve some of the things that they see as issues so that they can see them for what they really are, so that they can try to remove from their life what I have discussed before and I've called lighthouse filters, such as worry, frustration, anger, envy, all these things that we want to remove from our lives so we can live a happier life. As you know, these are many of the topics that we discuss. Even when many of the people call into the show and they're asking us questions or asking for readings, basically, although there may be an answer to the question, at the same time also what all of us are trying to learn is how to take what we've got going on in our lives and how to live a better life, how to be happier day to day, how to be happy and smiling from the time we wake up until the time we go to bed at night, and how to not let just daily living change us, how to stay true to ourselves. And so, of course, that's why I'm so excited about our guest tonight. Now, she is founder of, like I said, Path to Anadam, and she has a new book out, her most recent book. She is an author, a published author of many books, but her most recent is Yoga Beyond Asana. And I know I just mispronounced that as well. I swear, before the show, I had it. And now that I'm like saying everything, everything's coming out wrong. And so, well, now for those of you who would like to call in, you feel free, as usual, to call in. If you'd like to ask a question, the call-in number is 714-816-4750. Now, we won't be doing any readings tonight. However, for those of you who would normally call in and ask that question for that reading, you should still call in. These are still relevant questions, the same questions you would ask me, how to deal with all the various things you have going on in your life. Still, call in and ask us those questions, because Satya can explain to you how she would answer those questions for you, what she would suggest to you, and how yoga can help you with these things. Okay, and now please help me welcome our guest tonight, Satya Kalra. Satya, hi, Satya, are you on the air?
Yes, I am, and namaste to you, and namaste to your all of your radio listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me on your show. I'm looking forward to be part of your whole hour show with your listeners, and looking forward to answering some of the questions which your listeners might have.
Yes.
Namaste to all of you again.
And thank you so much for joining us. I don't know if you heard the intro where I was saying that, you know, it's always wonderful to have somebody on the show who can help answer questions about methods and ways we can get to living a happier life. And that is absolutely what you specialize in. Now, first of all, I mispronounced Path to Ananda. Now, I think I just said it right just now, but I want you to say it so that everyone will hear it correctly.
It is Path to Anandam.
Okay, thank
and
you.
Anandam means blissful life, everlasting happiness, and Path to means this is a way, what we are going to talk about, to Anandam, blissful, joyful life. And Anandam means eternal happiness, which never can be snatched by your external factors, with your external conditions, and so many things go in life. So Anandam means which you own it. You have a birthright to own your happiness, and that's what the happiness is. Anandam means all about.
Okay, and that is what that means, is that is what the goal we're trying to achieve, is trying to attain that without being affected by various things that happen, you know, in our life that normally would maybe upset us, make us sad, unhappy normally. That means that we would be able to stay in that state.
You got it. This is exactly what it means.
And now, like I was telling everyone, you actually, besides your book, Yoga Beyond Asana, you have actually quite a few books you've written. Now, before I start asking you questions, let me tell the listeners some of the other books that you have, just so once we get to talking about things, I don't forget to do that. First of all, you also wrote My Question and God's Answers. You wrote also Prosperity Forever. You wrote Lasting Forever, Birth, Death. And you wrote Enjoy Worry-Free Life in 30 Days, which that one I have to read.
Yep, everybody has.
And now, so I wanted to just, and on the show page and on my website, just to let the listeners know, because some people I realize are at home listening, sitting behind their computers, the links to her website are there. So as we're talking, feel free to go ahead and pull her website up and start browsing it and looking at everything that she offers as we are, you know, as we go along with the interview. You will love what you find there. Now, first of all, Satya, let me ask you, what is PTA?
PTA is Path to Anandam.
Okay.
P stands for Path, T-O, Anandam is A. So it is PTA, Path to Anandam. It's just a short form of it.
Okay. And now, when did you found PTA?
About, actually, it was founded 3 years ago.
Okay. And what led to you founding PTA? Did you go through some spiritual advancement or awakening?
Actually, I have been in this country for 42 years. Came from India and set a lot of goals for myself, my career goals, my family goals, children, house, cars, you name it. And, of course, going to school and getting degrees. And founded the companies, became the CEO and chairperson of biotechnology company. And I serve biotechnology company, the cancer arena, for 35 years of my life.
Wow.
Focusing on quite a bit on DNA and genes research. But I have been a spiritual person from very childhood. I was practicing more like a religion rather than, I would say, spiritual, because I did not know the difference. To me, religion was a spirituality. But later on, it became very clear to me that I was getting more and more to the higher conscious level, and I realized that it's more like a spirituality. And divine call came to me 5 years ago that I have done and served enough my business arena, my personal life, and now it is time for me to share my experiences. And how it happened, 5 years ago, one of my saint, Guruji, we call him, he came to our home, and he saw me at night at 2 o'clock in the morning in the dark writing. My eyes were closed. And next morning, he asked me, what was I doing? And I read it to him. Then I showed him my 7 binders, which I have been writing for many, many years. And he said, now it is time for your divine call. And actually, divine call was coming to me many times, but this time it came that it was 5 years ago, and went soul searching, and I just basically left the business world. Because I had everything, but still I was kind of feeling empty in my heart.
Right, right.
I thought I had everything, but still there was an empty corner in my heart. Like, I would be happy what I got. When I did not get something, I will be unhappy. So right. I was just like a pendulum going from happiness to unhappiness. And then this divine call came, and then all the message coming from my inside that, look, if I could be unhappy being in such a level and position, what about the people who do not have what I have been blessed with, my family, with my home, with my good job, with good health, good relationship?
Right.
And still I am empty. Then there must be something more than that. And then divine call came to me that what I have been writing and what that messages I have, I not only that, those are the messages, are true messages, and I have to share with other people as well. And that's the reason I left the job and formed this non-profit organization, which is called Path to Anandam, means how to be blissful.
Okay. And now you said you were in the dark writing with your eyes closed.
Yes.
That is what you said?
Yes, actually, I write all of my books in my meditation, and I started meditation about 35 years ago. At one night, when I was sleeping or half asleep, and golden light came with a symbol of Om, and kept encapsulating me and keep moving. My whole body and whole area was covered with that golden light. And every night I will go into that light and felt that was my blanket. And I was basically sleeping in that light every night. And I was enjoying but I did not know that this is called yoga nidra or this is called meditation or anything. Because
right.
35 years ago, the vocabulary of meditation was not as profound as it is known today.
Right.
But I had been going higher and higher in my conscious level through divine light and divine guidance. So I wrote all of my books in meditation, And when I wrote this Yoga Beyond Asana, actually the whole book, from starting to the release, it took only 4 weeks because I was going to a conference, which is an international yoga conference in India.
Yes.
And it is about 700 to 800 people come all over the world. And mostly they are teachers and profound speakers and students. And every year I have gone there, or actually when I started my yoga about many years ago. And to me, yoga was basically the better I bend, the better I touch my toes, the better yoga practitioner I am. And I was not one of them, and I used to feel very depressed. And when I used to go to these conferences, all the teachers and the whole focus was on physical exercises.
Right.
And what was missing there, which I last year I totally, in 2011, it was so clear to me that there is a major, major element of the practicing the yoga is missing, because yoga is not just the physical exercise. That's why the name of the book says Yoga Beyond Asana. Asana means physical poses. So yoga is beyond physical fitness. And it offers you, the meaning of yoga is, it actually, yoga came from the word, Sanskrit word, which is the Indian language. Yuj means unite, to connect. And basically, you get, it means that you connect yourself and get freedom from all the miseries of life and experience and unite with that eternal happiness, peace, anandam.
Yeah.
And then there are ways to do it. But basically, I was preparing for my talk, and in the meditation when I was sitting, all of a sudden, I hear the voice that I'm supposed to write a book for this conference.
Yes.
And I said, it's been 4 weeks, how could I do it? But I could not sit for the meditation any longer. I had to get up, and I went on my laptop, and it just like I was downloading the information from the Supreme. In 15 minutes, I had the outline of the book.
Right.
And it took me a week and a half to write the book. Then, of course, another two or three days, I had to write the introduction and put everything in a readable shape so then people can understand, because sometimes when you get the spiritual language or the messages from the higher conscious level, you have to translate it in a such a way so everybody understands that.
Exactly.
So it took me about 2 weeks to do that, and then another 2 weeks to find the printer, format the book, put all the graphics, and in two weeks, my book was already released. So starting from February, beginning of February, to March, the book was released on March 1st.
Wow.
On Bank of Ganges.
It's funny that you described that experience, because actually this morning me and Stella were actually talking about that, when I was saying to Stella that, you know, for many of us, we're not sitting at home brainstorming and trying to think of a book to write or a workshop to do. Often, I was explaining to her, most of the time when many of the people end up writing these books and creating these workshops, they've been given the guidance to do that, or told to do that in meditation, from a higher divine place has told them to do that. And we were just talking about that this morning.
Right.
I think all spiritual seekers and people who do a lot of meditation and focus on self-transformation, those messages are not bound to come to particular body. They come from Supreme to the pure soul or the pure heart. So this is the connection of heart to heart or soul to heart. And doesn't matter which body is that pure heart is sitting.
Right.
Anybody and everybody will get that messages. As long as we are connected. So the key here is we have to connect ourselves to that supreme divine energy or power.
Right, exactly. And now, I usually, sometimes I have spoken about the higher self, and in different religions, different cultures, it's called different things. So is that also what you're talking about, is that higher self or that divine self or what some people call their own Christ self that is at that that highest level up within their own self?
Yeah, you can call any name you want, but basically it is the same concept. We can call it the Supreme Consciousness. We can call it a state of Nirvana. We could call it a state of liberation. We could call it divine power, supreme power, God, whatever we want to name it, doesn't matter.
Exactly. So that everyone listening knows that, you know, everybody calls it something different. Some people will make up a name for it, but, you know, we're all basically, we are talking about the same thing. Now, what is the purpose of life the same as the purpose of yoga?
Yes. Yoga means have two different meanings. Yoga means ultimate union with your ultimate reality, your ultimate nature. Who am I? That's the union with that particular concept. When I realize who am I, my ultimate potential, unlimited potential, divine, supreme. That's what the yoga is. But yoga also has another word, which is path. It is a path to get to that ultimate union to higher self. So all the methods or spiritual practices are also called yoga. And the purpose of life and the yoga is the same, as you ask that question. Yes. The purpose of yoga, the goal of yoga is to attain that beautiful ultimate union with Supreme, everlasting peace, bliss, anandam. And some people call it again self-realization. So the goal the purpose of life is to attain that ultimate blissful state and experience it. Because we experience it here and there. When we sit in meditation, when we do something good, and we feel very good about it. And sometimes we know somebody's knocking on our shoulder and giving messages. We all have those kind of experiences. Or when we take a shower, sometimes we get the best ideas while we are taking shower. Why? Because I call it like our clouds are dissipated and the sunlight is coming out of it. And our soul, our heart, our Supreme is speaking to us at that time.
Yes.
But to extend and experience more and more and more, that is whatever the spiritual practices are, is yoga. But when we reach there and we can sustain that, problem is we all experience, but it is such a short period of experience. We want to experience this more and more and more. The more we experience, the more spiritual practices we do. What spiritual practices means? When we are more practicing, I call it goodness. We speak good, we think good, we see good, we eat good, we do good, like everything we do kind of things good, good, good. And I put it in a very simple way. See, goodness or good, it has G-O-O-D. There are two O's in it. But when these two O's become one O, it becomes God. So the goodness to godliness. How we get that? The one O is God. The other O is all of our shortcomings, our anger, our greed, our negative attitude, our ego, our attachment, all these O, that O becomes zero, and when O merges with another O, and it becomes God. So the path to God is become good, practice goodness, very simple.
Right, and it does.
And that is the purpose of life, and that is the purpose of life is the same as yoga. And ultimate, or you can call it a yoga, or you can, I mean, whatever, this is the ultimate purpose of our life, or I call it supreme goal of our life is to self-realize, who am I? Where did I come from? Where will I go from here?
Right.
And how to get there? And ultimately reach to that peaceful, eternal happiness, joyful, blissful state. That's what who we are. That's our birthright, to know that and fulfill that purpose. But we kind of get lost in this world.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, there are many people that might ask, okay, well, yes, it sounds so simple and straightforward is to just practice being good. But there are many people who would say, okay, yeah, it sounds simple, but how do I do that? It's very difficult for me. What do you normally tell them when people are telling you, I'm trying to do it, but somebody cuts me off while I'm driving, and before I realize it, I'm losing my cool and I can't seem to stop myself. I'm trying to be good, but I can't seem to stop myself from the habits that I'm so used to.
I'm glad you asked that question, because I have been asked that question many, many, many times.
I can imagine.
And at one time, I was the same situation. And it's just like I was a ball and people were throwing me anywhere they wanted it, because I was not holding my grounds. And if somebody cuts me off, I would get angry. If somebody gives me a bad look, I will feel depressed. If somebody takes away my part of the food, I will get upset. Mm-hmm. Somebody says something on my back, I would, and then I will hear it, that somebody has said this thing about me, and I will get very depressed. So all these things, and it's very normal, because we are living in a normal world, this world, and this world is made up with those things. So those things are very normal.
Right.
But how can we outgrow out of it or come out of it? First of all, we all have to understand that I am sent on this earth by God for some purpose. And the purpose is for me to experience that happiness, that eternal happiness, blissful state. But I am lost with all this, so many things in the world, and I become like a pendulum going from one side to another side. And my shock absorbers are so low that any time I get this little bump, I feel it. Now, how should we do it so then we become better and better and better human being and feel more comfortable and attain that blissful state? So the number one, I call it, make the commitment to yourself that I'm going to be very happy from now on.
Okay. And if you fail?
Yeah, no, so then we will go. But first, make that commitment.
Okay.
Make the commitment, from now on, I am going to be happy. Now, the next thing is, what are the things are coming in my way not to experience that happiness? Because I have to be realistic. I can't just, I'm just saying that be happy. It's not like a switch, a light switch that you turn it off and turn it on and that's it.
Right.
You have to work for it. You have to do all the wiring to get all the current to the house before you are able to switch that switch on and off.
Right.
So how we do that? I use 3A or AAA strategy.
Okay.
And number one A is awareness. Be aware of the things what are coming in my way to experience that happiness. One is somebody cuts me on the freeway. and I lose myself. Another thing could be I get angry when somebody says something, I lose my temper. I worry too much. I do too much shopping, and then when it comes to my visa bill or come to my bill, I am very stressful and I cannot afford to pay the bills. We all have those kind of issues. Everybody has different issues.
Right.
Or my partner has said something, or my children have said something, or my siblings have said something, or my boss promoted my colleague and he did not give me enough raise. I mean, we are living in a real world. So first thing I say, self-awareness and self-inquiry. So must ask those questions to ourselves, that what makes me unhappy? And also it could be my physical health. You know, we have a physical health. You know, we could be having many physical problems. So we should make the list of those things as well. What kind of thoughts and feelings I carry? Am I stressed out? Am I impatient? Do I worry a lot? How I speak? What kind of actions I do? And what kind of friends and what kind of company I mingle in it?
Okay.
And do I pay attention to, do I help others? Do I help my family, my community, my nation, this whole world? Do I think about others or do I just think about me, everything
right.
I want for myself? So this self-awareness is very, very important. These questions are very important, what makes me unhappy, because
right.
at one point, when I started doing this 20 years ago, I made a list of the items which I was not happy about myself.
Okay.
And it came out to be 153 items.
Wow. I'm
going
to have to try that and see how many I
felt
end
very
up with.
Unhappy by looking at it, but that was, I mean, I took like 1 minute and wrote down everything I want to change about myself. I want to get up early in the morning. I was sleeping late. I want to get up early.
Right.
Or when I work, I just work. I become like a workaholic. I don't pay attention to other things. You know, many, many things I had it in my life.
Right.
And then I put these 150 items into a 12 categories and hoping to correct them in 12 months. I think I was dreaming about it. Because I think it is going to take me whole life. Although I would say I made such a commitment that it's really helping me.
Right.
So that was a self-analysis. So, I mean, I was aware of it. I became aware of the thing when I did the self-analysis, that where are these coming from?
Right.
Why am I behaving like that? What makes me angry? Why? And is that people, finally I came to realize it was me, not the other people.
Right.
I am start blaming other people and not taking the responsibility my own actions. But I used to be very reactionary, and then I became like very action oriented, and my focus then became self action. So the first one was self analysis, self awareness. Second one was self analysis. Third one was action for correction. So now I'm going to correct it. So I will take one thing at a time, practice it. For example, I was told I was not saying thank you enough to other people and expressing my gratitude, because being from India, we are not supposed to thank you people so much. Otherwise, it creates a distance between the two friendship or relationships, because thank you is something for people outside your family and outside your relationship with people you have intimacy, like close friends and family members,
right.
you do not say thank you to them. So I was just having a very intimate relationship with everybody and considering them, so I was not doing enough. So what I did, I will take a slip, write a thank you, and whole day I go to bathroom, I will look at it. Means it will be a reminder for me. I will write it down on my phone, like in the old days, you know, the phone was
right.
on the desk. So I will
write
it and say thank you. So I will remind myself to say thank you all that whole day. And it was getting better and better. But what I did other thing, every evening I came home, I sat down, I analyzed how many times I said thank you. Okay, I supposed to say 10 times, right? But I did it 8 times. So I would not pound myself for two times. That's okay. Tomorrow is another day. So
right.
I will thank you, God, for helping me, and then asking God and pray to God for giving me strength and wisdom for tomorrow so I can go and become a better and better person.
Yes.
And that, based on that, then I prepared a daily spiritual planner or daily planner. So I will write down, and every book of mine has a daily planner on the back, which kept me on the track. So what to do from the morning to the whole day, if I want to take which point I want to practice. And then in the evening again, I would evaluate, I would sit and meditate for 10 minutes. And the other thing I did in the morning was, I had like a 60-minute program, which is like 20-20-20. 20 minutes I will do exercises, which is we call asanas or poses, physical poses.
Okay.
And then another 20 minutes I will do the breathing exercises, because breathing is very important, because sometimes we keep breathing and our breath, we breathe so fast when we are upset, when we are emotional. And if we breathe faster, then our mind goes very fast. And we kind of are not calm, like A personality, typical A personality would be doing that.
Okay.
And then if we breathe and do the exercises or focus on our breath, then we kind of calm down and calmer and calmer and calmer. And also I would take a 1 point and practice during the day. And also 20 minutes I will meditate. But sometimes what happens, 20 becomes, 1 hour becomes too long in the morning before you go to office.
Right.
So then you can take 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, and walking, breathing awareness, is you can do it while you're walking, while you are eating. Just slow down and just for a few, even for 1 minute, just focus how the breath goes in your system.
Exactly.
So that's what I will do to increase the awareness. But the other thing I will do, I will also, you know, how to become more happier. We become very selfish in this world. Everything we want for ourselves. We have to learn how to share with others.
Right. Yes.
Or have a little bit time, like on the weekend, just to spend 1 hour on the weekend, or maybe 1 hour a month or 2 hours a month. Go and go to some shelters or go to the places where you do not get paid. I call it selfless service. You do not get paid. You just go and do not expect anything and just come back and feel good that you contributed something to places where there are places needed your help and you did not get any monetary reward, but you felt good about. So that's the one thing I also say. And then also love all, serve all. Express your love to other people. Fill your heart with love. Because when other people are angry, it means they are missing love in their life. So become a love giver rather than expecting and asking, you don't love me. Why don't you say these things? I love you all the time. No, why don't I go and tell people, I love you, I love you, I love you. And give a smile to people if you don't want to say anything. So share your love, share your services with others, and take care of your body by doing some exercise, doing some breathing exercises, and do some meditation. And whatever you do for, like, this whole world is a creation of God. So contribute and make this creation of God a better place to live. So how do we do it? If we practice and with love and send our love to others and not complain and be a little bit more content and start forgiving people rather than holding grudges against people.
Right, exactly.
And be patient with yourself and be patient with other people. And when we practice, and the other thing I tell people, be honest with yourself and others. sometimes we think that we do so good, many good things, and we are so honest and all that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes if we really want to say people what people supposed to be hearing, rather than we just say what is the supposed to be said.
Right, right.
So all these practices, I have put it in my book, Yoga Beyond Asanam, because this book is again a 30-day planner and also 30 days
okay.
book, spiritual guide, or I call it step-by-step spiritual guide for 30 days. And there is a one message. You can take it one day and practice it. And
okay,
if you take
I see.
It longer, that's okay.
Right.
Take as much time as you need. But, and then practice, then use the spiritual planner on the back. So then it keeps you on the track. And sometimes we start
right. and
some commitment and we forget. And
right.
like the first week or 2 weeks we are doing good with exercise or with dieting or whatever we are doing. And then right. all of a sudden it gets so boring because we do not see the results.
Right.
And we want everything, we want quick fix.
Yes, yes.
And I tell people these practices are different than yoga practices. Like for yoga, you go to yoga studio and come
right.
back home. But here, with this journey with Yoga Beyond Asana, once you start, then this is such a beautiful journey. Every
right.
day, every moment, you will feel so motivated and so self-fulfilling and self-satisfied. The whole journey becomes your reward rather than end of the day that you are rewarded. You are enjoying every moment of it. And that is
right.
the purpose of life, that you don't go to ultimate destination. Like I'll tell people, it's not like you go to liberation at the end.
Right.
Every moment when you are achieving something and feeling self-satisfied, that is your liberation. That is your freedom. If I
so,
do not...
Instead of just going to a yoga class, what you're saying is that you're trying to make your whole day, your whole life, yoga.
Exactly. Yoga, and then make every activity as a yoga. Not just the practice and physical exercises, that's why I call it yoga, practice the yoga off the mat, means that when you get up in the morning and give a big smile to yourself in the mirror and carry that
yes.
smile the rest of the day, you are living in yoga. You are making other people's day smile and making them happier. That itself is a spiritual practice. So you are living in the yoga life. So it's not that we have to do too many things or make ourselves so difficult and everything is make feel like, oh my God, these spiritual practices are so hard. How could I achieve
right.
that? Make it fun. Make it simple. Whatever. Everybody is not meant for meditation. That's okay.
Right. Right.
Everybody is not meant for, maybe physical conditions are not such as that they can go and do some volunteer work. They might have some physical limitations.
Right.
That's okay. They can sit on the computer and then just send a nice, lovely email to somebody. Or pick up a phone and if somebody needs to be said hello. Many people are lonely. So just give a
right.
call to some perfect person or something. Whatever activity you do which makes you feel good and make other people feel good. And
right.
unite.
So even if that's, maybe you're not going to go and volunteer somewhere, but maybe on a regular basis you help a neighbor or you're trying to practice being there and being helpful to maybe the people who are around you in your community, expecting nothing in return.
Exactly. Like just to help somebody to cross the road, like some elderly person or with a dog or somebody, just go and help
right.
them to cross the road.
Exactly. And not for any reason other than, I used to get this question a lot because there are some people that used to ask me all the time, well, I don't understand, why are you always helping people? Why are you always doing this for this person and that for that person? When are you going to learn your lesson? But I always think, if I'm a person that thinks that way, that thinks I shouldn't help people or I shouldn't do for people because I'm not going to get anything out of it, or I'm always going to get the short end of the stick, or then I'm not going to have enough time for myself. If everyone thought that way, then the life, the world we were living in would be even worse.
I fully agree with you. But at one thing I want to caution, that we want to help everybody, but we have to make sure we are not taking advantage of it.
You mean that we're not allowing someone to take advantage of us?
There is a fine line to draw, that somebody might start taking advantage of you and they ask you for your help and all that, and you know that they can do themselves.
Right.
Or somebody might ask you for financial help, or and
right.
they can do better, they can work themselves rather than you support them financially. So there is a fine line to draw. So we have to develop this discrimination, where
right.
to go and help, who to help, how to help, and want to make sure with our help other people do not become lazy.
Right. Right.
Other people become dependent. Like sometimes, you know, we all as a mothers have a tendency to do it for our children.
Right.
And so we have to, and for siblings or close friends, we have to make sure that we give them a rod to fish rather than fishing for them.
Right. So it's important to make sure that we always keep a good balance.
Yes, and that's what I say, helping yourself. First thing, spend 1 hour, whatever time for yourself, to have a physical fitness by exercise and calmness by meditation, and also take a one message what you want to improve upon. And sometimes, you know, we don't know what we want to improve upon it. Read some scriptures or read some biography, or I said, maybe Mother Teresa's book or Mahatma Gandhi's or Martin Luther King or Bible or Bhagavad Gita or whatever it fits in your lifestyle. But
yeah.
read some book which motivates you. That
okay.
is very, very important to have some motivator in our life.
Right. Exactly. Now, there are different paths of yoga. And different types paths of yoga may be good for different people. So can you explain, like, what are the different paths of yoga, like karma yoga, awareness yoga, which you did discuss, surrender yoga, these different paths of yoga, what are they and how do you accomplish doing them?
Like, as I think karma yoga, as I already explained, which is, I did not name it, but karma yoga means action, selfless service.
Okay.
That is karma yoga, where you do not expect anything in return. So the action that is done with the best of one's ability.
Okay,
And compassion without any selfish motive or personal gain or personal benefit for your family or your nation and for the benefit of the whole universe.
Okay.
So I have to have a little bit global vision here and want to make sure that, for example, if I have a company or factory which makes the goods, consumer goods, and which helps the market, and I make money, but if my factory is generating a pollution and creating a problem in the environment, like ozones and things like that, that is not a karma yoga. That is an action. Even though I might be helping the community or the market, but I am polluting the environment.
Environment.
So karma yoga doesn't mean that we have to help other people. We have to make sure we have a global vision. We have to protect our water, the ocean, our river,
okay.
Right. Our environment. Our environment or the air. Air must be, because that is so important. That's why, you know, see so many people in LA, and if you go to different places, have a breathing problem because there is too much ozone there.
Right.
Too many factories are throwing the pollution in the air.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we have to make sure we take care of the water, natural resources. So
exactly.
Sharing and giving is karma yoga. Practicing okay. goodness, as I mentioned, is karma yoga. Helping and respecting others is karma yoga. Sometimes we kind of condescend other people and make fun of other people, then that's not a karma yoga. And sometimes we say, oh, I'm just joking. Oh, I just want to tell you how you feel, how you should be dressing up, how should be. No. And sometimes we insult other people. So
right.
respecting others is karma yoga. Doing selflessly your
right.
own responsibility, fulfilling our responsibility, like raising our kids is a responsibility.
Right.
But we should do it in our best way of doing it. Whatever the responsibility we have toward our body, toward our family, toward the nature, toward the environment, toward our nation, toward our country, toward the universe, we should be taking full responsibility. Because
exactly.
So serving to God and His creation is a karma yoga.
Okay.
So the ingredients for karma yoga is selfless work and the knowledge how we should be doing, like discrimination, as I mentioned, and the mm-hmm. mind has to be calm. Sometimes we are so upset and so react, and we do the things with a reaction.
Right.
So we should not be reactionary. So we have to have our calm mind, and that's where meditation and yoga and breathing exercises come in picture. And
exactly.
then whatever we do, we should do it with love and compassion, not with resentment. Oh, I got to do it. Oh, I have to do it.
Right, right. Exactly.
Now that she's talking about that, it's pretty interesting because we have a caller. Her name is Ashanti. And I don't know, Sherry, if you were able to see her question. So,
okay.
Because
yeah.
it's related to what she's talking about right now, and I think it's very interesting.
Satya, we have Ashanti would actually, if you don't mind taking this caller, she would like to ask you a question about how to stay in a state of gratitude even through fear. Ashanti, you're on the air. How are you?
I'm well, ladies. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
Satya, what would you tell Ashanti?
Namaste, Ashanti.
Namaste.
Yes, the fear is the biggest cause of all of our miseries. When we are fearful, our body kind of blood pressure, or you say it goes so low and it jams it. And we can't even think straight anymore. How could we be express our gratitude to other people? I can relate to it. So the here is, we have to find out where this fear is coming from, because fears are many different types. Is this a physical fear? Is this the fear of death? Is this the physical fear of losing your job, losing your family members or relationship? So fear has to be dealt with it. And that's why I call self-awareness, that you have to start working from your fear. But even though you are still working with your fear, just expressing your gratitude and being thankful to God for giving you such a beautiful body. You are alive. You can breathe. You can get up from the bed in the morning. You can go to work. You can walk around. You can eat. All these things, if you become first a big gratitude, express your thank you to God, that God has brought you and gave you such a beautiful heart and beautiful body, and you could breathe. So be thankful to God. And then thankful to your own body. Just touch your hands and say, thank you, hands. you are here. Thank you, my eyes, you are here. Thank you, my mouth, you are here. Thank you, my hands, we can, and my feet, I can walk with you. So start giving thank you to yourself and to God, and then start expressing and extending your gratitude to others.
Okay.
Now, let me ask this question, because I was doing some reading on a website one time, and someone asked a similar question to this. Actually, I think it had to do with getting rid of habits and quitting smoking. And if you keep practicing, like, for example, gratitude, but you've got this fear, if you just keep practicing gratitude, will the fear just eventually kind of melt away if you just kind of keep practicing that gratitude?
Actually, you have to go deeper. Gratitude is, it will take you around and all that, but the fear part, you have to deal with it, where this fear is coming from, and you have to work on it. Only by saying thank you and being expressing gratitude and letting go, you have to include the letting go, surrender to what you do, surrender to Supreme, and whatever you do. But you have to be companion with Supreme. Always think about it. God is with you. God has sent you to this beautiful world. This world made you such a beautiful person, which is kind of got it a little bit clouded by some other external factors. So go be back and touch yourself, your inner being. But fear has to deal with it. It has to be dealt with it. Whatever the fear is coming, you have to go to the source and find out and then deal with it, like smoking. By saying smoking, I won't quit, I won't smoke, it won't go away. You have to work on it. So you have to work on getting on your fear, where it is coming from. That is very important, to know where the fear is coming from. And then with self-awareness and self-analysis, and then we can have the action for correction, how to get out of it.
Wow. Can I just build on that for a second from a personal standpoint? I've managed to do that twice. And there was probably roughly about 7 years ago, I was living in this apartment building and I had no money to move, and my neighbor was acting absolutely crazy. I didn't know where I was moving to, and I was petrified out of my mind. And I managed to be still enough and be in a state of gratitude and be thankful even through the fear. And that is probably the most memorable thing, in being still enough and in having that much faith that I manifested what I need in a very short period of time. The thing, however, is once I got to the apartment that I'm in now, I haven't been able to recreate the same feeling or the same state of being. I don't know why, but for some reason, I feel like I haven't been still enough, and I haven't been trusting enough to recreate the same thing to some extent.
Satya, would that be, you had mentioned something about giving yourself motivation. Is it possible that the situation she was in before motivated her to do what she really needed to do and release that fear? Is that what you were talking about giving yourself motivation, maybe?
Motivation, but there is one more element. The fear has to be, which she explained very well, fear has to be go with the faith. You have to trust yourself, and you have to trust divine, because divine play knows, and divine knows that where we should be and how we should be there. And sometimes we interfere with it, and that's where the fear comes. But if we connect with the divine, with Supreme, because God has such a beautiful plan for us, and whatever comes in our life, there is some message to us. It might not feel very pleasant at that time. For example, if I am in a plane, and my plane has deteriorated. Due to some circumstances, and now the plane is not taking me to the place where I supposed to be, but it is deteriorating to other destination. And it happened to me several years ago. I was in the plane. Mm-hmm. I was going to India, and on the way, the plane had to take us to Istanbul in Greece, because one person was having a heart attack.
Oh.
We went there, landed there, and it was such a big chaos because we were 300 people. They were not ready for our visa, and it was just, everybody was so disappointed and nervous, and because we didn't know what is going to happen to our passports, and many people had appointment in India or some attending the weddings and all. And, and after going through that, we stayed there in that city for 24 hours, and we went to such a beautiful places there, made all the arrangements, and when we came back to the plane, all of a sudden, the one engine before we plane was starting blew up.
Oh no.
And that person who was having the heart attack, they took him to hospital there, and he had no problem with his physical heart. So the point here was that if we were in the air, the plane was going to, the engine was going to blow up, and we are all were going to blow up in the air.
Right.
So God had took us to very safe destination, and some of them we got late one day there, but God knew what to do, the divine supreme, whatever we call, name God, but God has beautiful plans for us, and sometimes we really connect ourselves and just go with the flow of that, his divine act and divine play, then we will be comfortable, because when we are in that plane, but when she's in this apartment, there is a reason. If she starts paying attention to why she's there rather than why am I here, just observe it. Be witness and let go. And just get the messages from divine, that what messages, maybe you are going to meet somebody there. Maybe there is something which you are searching for and you are going to find in those surroundings or in the apartment complex or in that community or something. There is something,
right.
God has a very good plan for you.
Exactly.
Just wait, witness it, and just be connected with God. Just have a faith. So if you want to get out of fear, just have a faith. With faith, you will come out of fear.
Excellent. Ashante, was that helpful?
That was very helpful. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for calling in. And I wish you luck. And don't forget, feel free to call us at a later time if you can update us about how things are going for you.
Will do. Thank you, and namaste.
Namaste.
Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you.
So now, can you tell our listeners what samadhi is?
Yes, actually, this yoga practices have 8 steps. And in those 8 steps, samadhi is the very last step. But in order to reach samadhi, samadhi means where you reach your ultimate supreme goal, and you are totally free from worries, from fear, from anger, from greed, from your ego, from jealousy, all the miseries of life. That state is called samadhi. Samadhi means settled. When your mind is totally settled and egoistic mind is dissolved and finally reached to the one state which is called oneness with God.
Okay.
Ultimate state of supreme consciousness. When you totally merge with supreme consciousness. And
now,
enlightened. That's what the samadhi is. Okay. But prior to samadhi, there is a meditation. One has to do the meditation. Prior to meditation, one has to learn how to contemplate and mm-hmm. how to control the mind and how to do the breathing exercises and physical exercises to bring more awareness, and also how to live ourselves like set of don'ts and set of do's. Like set of do's are that we should be content, we should have a pure thoughts, we should study our scriptures, we should do self-analysis, self-awareness, and let go. These are the things we have to practice. And what are the things we're not supposed to do? Like, no, we should not be get engaged with the violence, so we should practice non-violence, truthfulness, non-stealing, not misusing and taking advantage of other people or taking the advantage of this nature or resources. And also, we should not take too much for ourselves. We should learn how to share and give. So basically, it's the do's and don'ts we have to practice. And if we do that, we are more calmer. And if we do the asanas or the yoga, physical exercises of the yoga combined with breath, so we are more aware of it. And also, we have these good thoughts. I call it a mantra of the day. Like I said, today is my mantra of the day is thank you. Tomorrow my mantra of the day might be forgiveness. The day after tomorrow it might be love. One day it might be smile. One day it might be contentment. One day, okay, I'm going to be very truthful to myself and make sure I do not lie or my mind, my thoughts, my speech and my action is totally in alignment. So okay. All these are mantras we basically, as I said, one day at a time we practice it. Then we can sit and do meditation. And when we meditate, because there is nowadays meditation is so many different type of meditation.
Right.
And the true meditation is when we contemplate and meditate on divine. Because right. If we sit and meditate, sometimes we sit and we start thinking about cooking. That's okay. Yeah. I think it's start thinking about my job. And we right. keep thinking about it. Whatever we contemplate, we become the best of the best in that arena. For example, right. if I'm a doctor and I'm contemplating on my own practice or on the with my patients and all that, which is okay, and that will make me a best doctor. If I'm right. a researcher, if I'm a researcher and if I'm contemplating all the time and thinking about all the time about my research, I will come up with the best solutions. If right. I'm an engineer, I will come up with the best techniques. If I'm a driver and if I'm contemplating on my driver and I'm focusing, basically contemplation means focusing. When I'm focusing 100% on my driving, I will be the best driver. So meditation makes you the best of the best. Whatever you do. And right. sometimes if you think about it, terrorists, they contemplate how to kill people.
Right.
So they even do not care about their own body. They go become the suicidal bombs
right.
themselves. And because they're contemplating on how to hurt other people and how to kill other people. So whatever
right.
the mind could be focused on it, contemplate on it, that one person becomes best of the best in that area, whether it's a killing or it's a, like many people,
right.
When they get into depression, they sometimes do the suicidal attempts or kill themselves. Why? Because in depression, they are focusing, in other words, they are meditating on those negative thoughts, depressing
right.
thoughts. And then eventually they go and kill themselves. Similar, that's why it says the meditation, real meaning of meditation is you meditate on goodness and you meditate on divine and
right.
forgiveness and love and compassion and contentment and selfless service. And,
right.
and not only that, they say you become your best, you enjoy your life, you become the best of the best. And not only you enjoy your life, You feel so self-satisfied. So it's not that we die and we get the liberation and we feel happy or we merge with God and higher consciousness. We can do the same thing while we are living on the earth. Every moment we can free ourselves and we can liberate ourselves from all the miseries and pains by developing these virtues and using these mantras every day. And then we are in samadhi. Then we are in samadhi.
Right.
Because whatever happens, if I have a faith, I am going with the flow and I'm going with the divine play, I'm not worried about it. God
right.
will take care of me as long as I do my best.
Right.
Action is very important. As long as I do my best and I'm not lazy, I have a good intentions, my heart is pure, and I'm connected with heart to heart with people, with God, with everything, God will take care of. Who does, what is God? God is a pure 24 karat, I call it, or pure consciousness.
Right.
And if I become that pure in my heart, I am no different than God. God and me are one. That's what it calls oneness.
Oneness
of body means my body is healthy. I am feeling good. My mind is not corrupted with all these worldly things and anger and not holding the resentment and jealousy and fear and worries. So my mind is more pure. And then I have a free, my body is pure, my heart is pure, my mind is pure, and I'm totally connected with Supreme. So that is the oneness of body, mind, and Supreme. And that's where the flow of energy from my body to goes to the Supreme, and I am connected. And when I'm connected, that's the time I get the messages. Go and write this book. Go and have this workshop. Give this, like, you have your own experiences. Why? Because we come to that pure conscious level, and then we get the messages. Sometimes people, we call it like our inner intuitions. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Inner intuitions are, again, because they're coming from our third chakra.
So, it's getting to a point where you can hear in the silence,
you can hear
in the stillness,
so
you can
calm
hear.
Down, when we calm down and put all of our grudges down, in other words, we remove all the darkness or all the clouds, then we can have that shyness or the sunlight comes. Similarly, that shyness comes within us from our heart. And our job is not just that, or our purpose of life is not only to feel eternal happiness and peace and joyful state and blissful state and anandam, but we should enrich ourselves and fill our heart with so much love and mind, so much with peace, that we now cannot hold that anymore in our body and in our mind. Now we should be giving it to others. That's what our purpose of life is, to first enrich myself, then share with rest of the world and make this world a better place to live. That's why God has sent us here on the earth. And that's what we need to experience it.
Exactly. I usually tell people that at some point in their journey, things will change for them. And they'll get to this point where it will seem like it's become less about it being important to them to attain spiritual advancement, and it'll become more important to attain that for what they can give to others. It'll become almost like they are trying to achieve it, not just for the benefit of themselves, but they're trying to achieve it for the benefit of all.
Exactly. Because we all came from one source. We are all one. But we are separated in these bodies and in mind. And our egoistic mind separates us, and it's you and this is me. I am better than you. My religion is better than you. My car is better than you. My job is better than you. We keep comparing and keep conceiving ourselves better and better and better.
Right.
And downgrading ourselves and other people by doing that. So we become very egoistic. But once we start sharing love and peace, we feel that everybody is part of us. Everybody is a big, whole universe or whole world or whole community is like a one family.
Exactly.
And we feel connected with each other and we're connected with the Supreme because we came from one source, like a sun. Like
right.
Sun gives the light to everybody in the world and all the light comes from the one source, sun.
Right.
But then the solar systems companies, they create their own solar system, they create their own energy, and then they sell their own energy because it is there, because they put their resources in it. Fine. But where did they get it from?
Right.
From the sun, right?
Right.
So all we are sharing the same energy within us, and then become a master of it. It is my energy, it is me better than you, and all that we become in charge of it. But forget that we are from all from the same source. We are one, and we should all help each other and love all each other and be happy with each other.
Exactly. Okay. Stella, are you there? Hello, Stella, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Hold on, let me see. I think I still have her connected, but I think we may have lost her for a second. So let me do this. I'm going to run the coaching promo while we try to get her back on the line. So everybody just bear with us for 1 second.
Are you tired of falling short of your goals? Do you feel stuck, unsatisfied with the direction your life has taken? Has your business fallen flat lately? Or is your sales team just not performing at their best? Are you ready for a change? Sherry Andrea, a top personal development coach who has helped hundreds achieve their dreams and goals, is once again taking new clients. Never tried coaching? Try a free trial coaching session today. Call 1-407-777-9247 or learn more at sherryandrea.com. The life you dreamed of is right around the corner.
Cover, we are running the bestseller campaign on
Great,
Amazon.
Okay, and we're back on now. Sorry about that. I just wanted to make sure we still had Satya. So she's here. So now, Satya, what were you saying about the ebook became the bestseller?
Yeah, so this book is Yoga Beyond Asana, The Complete Guide for Blissful Life. The ebook format became the bestseller on October 5th, 12 days prior to our original plan, which is today was the original plan to go for bestseller campaign.
Wow.
So we are still doing it for the hardcover. And the book, which usually is $12, just for this 5 days, actually 4 more days are remaining. The book is going to be for $4.98, and they can download it only for 99 cents. And after 5 days, then the prices will go back to the normal prices.
Okay. And now where can they find that? I'm assuming they can find it on your website, which is Path to Anadam, which is ANADAM.org. But where else can they find your book?
On Amazon.com.
Okay, Amazon.com. So, everyone, you could find that book. And what I'll do is I will put the link to where you could find it on Amazon. I'll make sure I have it on my website so that all you have to do is go to the post for this interview, and you'll see all the links listed, and I'll add that one in there to make sure that everyone can get to Amazon, because that's perfect. Getting it in ebook form, so many of us use Kindle or use our iPhone or an iPad, so I'm not surprised that your ebook went bestseller early. We all love technology.
Yes, and one more thing. All the proceeds from this book, 100% proceeds from this book go to philanthropic causes, like, for example, Save Baby Girls.
Okay.
So all the financial support what comes to the through these books goes to the saving the girls throughout the world, young baby girls.
And, that is wonderful. That is really wonderful that you're doing that. Is that just with the ebook, or is that with both the ebook and the hard copy?
Both. All that is financial proceeds come from this. We consider them as a donation, and we just give it to the philanthropic causes. And right now, our cause, as I mentioned, is Save the Baby Girls. And again, I want to give one message to your listeners that, again, as I said, this book is not written by me. This was the divine message came to me. So this divine message is from Supreme to all of you. So take this to your heart and use it. And also the Christmas time is coming. You can get it for your loved ones as well, because this book has been given to you from Supreme. I was lucky enough that God or Supreme chose this body and hands to deliver this message. So you be part of spreading this message and also practicing yourself and enjoying the life and reach to your unlimited potential, your eternal happiness, love, and peace, and joyful life. Namaste.
Thank you, Satya, for being with us today. It was a wonderful interview, and you taught us so much. Hopefully sometime in the future you'll come back so that we can continue with our discussion and you can share with us some other ways that you can help our listeners through the services that you provide. And thank you to our co-host Stella for being here with us today and doing what she does very well.
No problem, anytime. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yes, thank you. And we will see you here again on Friday. Everyone, have a great evening.